Word of God given to us today is Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. Allow me to read the words of God. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Amen. Jesus knew that he did not have much time left on earth and informed the disciples, including Peter, how weak they are. However, the disciples asserted that they will never betray Jesus, and even if that happens, they can die with Jesus. It showed that the disciples had not given up their dream of Jesus' appearance as the Messiah and the King. Even while the disciples did not know what was ahead of them, God's timing, Kairos, had arrived, and Jesus walked towards the cross. The disciples who lived and ate with Jesus did not leave a record about Jesus' preferences for food and flowers or how his everyday was like. However, they documented how Jesus prayed early in the morning or after a day ended, looking for a quiet place for prayers. Moreover, it was also documented that Jesus always prayed before an important deed. In the Gospel of Mark, it is written, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." In the Gospel of Luke, it is written, "Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, and that in those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When daylight came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated as apostles." However, Jesus' prayer in today's scripture is different from his usual prayers. In Luke chapter 22:44, where the same event is documented, Jesus' prayer is described as, "And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground." As the Son of God in the flesh, Jesus had a physical body made of cells like any other human. He also felt all emotions that humans feel: sadness, pain, joy, hunger, and tiredness. In front of the unimaginable pain of the cross, Jesus prayed earnestly, and the sweat he shed was like blood drops. The path of the cross he had to take was a fearful and arduous one. The process that the Son of God in the flesh had to take for people and die because of people was a troublesome and sad process. At the moment of crisis, Jesus went up Gethsemane with his disciples. Gethsemane has a meaning of oil press, and it was chosen as the name of a place for making oil from olives grown at the Mountain of Olives. The quiet and solitary place, Gethsemane was a place Jesus often visited with his disciples. At Gethsemane, Jesus chose one place for eight disciples, and then he walked a little bit more with Peter, James, and John, and asked the three to stay awake. After Jesus asked the disciples to stay awake, he went a little further, close enough to throw a stone at the three disciples, and prayed. Jesus, fully aware of the shame, humiliation, and the pain from being separated from God, he bowed down to the ground and lied down in front of the Father God. Jesus prayed by standing up with their hands raised or sat down on their knees to pray. Before going on the cross, Jesus felt all the sadness, fear, and pain with his body and spirit, and to express his humility and absolute obedience, he prayed earnestly by putting his face on the ground. After his earnest prayer, Jesus went to where three disciples were and found that they were asleep. Jesus told Peter to watch and pray so that they will not fall into temptation. He also lamented that the spirit is willing, but the flesh of the disciples is weak. Jesus wanted the disciples to pray with the same heart as him, but they had fallen asleep. While the disciples thought that they were ready to be with Jesus, their spirit and flesh were weak. Even when Jesus had come back after praying, the disciples were asleep. Let's look at verse 43. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. The word translated as heavy means to bear the burden or to press down. Just like the saying that the heaviest thing in the world is the eyelid falling down due to sleepiness, the disciples' eyelids have become so heavy due to physical tiredness, mental idleness, and spiritual laziness. While disciples were asleep, a crowd of people, including Judas Iscariot, were obsessed to kill him and moved about. The disciples had been asked by Jesus to pray together during the most difficult time for Jesus, and yet they could not win against sleep. Then why did Jesus keep alerting the disciples even though he knew about their weaknesses? It seems that it was less because he wanted their help, but more because he wanted to teach the disciples to pray. After Jesus went to pray for the third time, he came and found the disciples were asleep, but told them to sleep and rest. Jesus was no longer occupied by fear and worries, and instead had been strengthened to walk to the cross. Before he prayed, he had been in extreme pain, so much that he wanted to die. After praying, Jesus had assurance and confidence in his heart. Who gives you the deepest solace when you're in pain? Probably the person who is with you through the pain and who sheds tears with you. While you're comforted by the person who is with you and cries with you, the greater comfort comes from the person who earnestly prays with you in the same spirit. You cannot compare the comfort the person who prays with you with any other one. Have you been next to a person in pain? Have you prayed with the same heart as them? If you have experienced how, through prayer, despair turns to joy, sigh to hope, lamentation to thanksgiving, then you can pray with the same heart through their difficulties. One day, a grandchild asked his grandfather, "Grandpa, if a white dog fights with a black dog, which one would win?" The grandfather answers, "The dog that ate well wins." If we live a life of prayer, through which despair, sighs, and lamentations turn to joy, hope, and thanksgiving, then it means that we're living every day by nourishing and tending after the health of our spirit. The verb tense used by Jesus, who went up Gethsemane with the disciples when he told them to watch, is present. It's written in the present tense to indicate to not fall asleep and stay awake. It not only means to physically stay awake, but to carefully watch out and stay alert so that they are not spiritually idle. Just as one has to stay awake to prevent theft, one has to keep their heart to not fall into temptation. 10 virgins who were waiting for their husband were divided into two, 5 who prepared extra oil and 5 that didn't. The lesson learned from this was that we have to prepare extra oil, and staying alert means to prepare extra oil. Preparing sufficient oil means that we have to be ready because the husband may take some time to come. Even if the kingdom of God arrives slowly, you have to keep faith to endure until it does arrive. If we have to wait a while and frustration ensues, and even if we have to step backwards, one should be determined to keep faith and endure. Worship, reading the Bible, prayers, and service allow us to actualize our faith into reality, spiritual life, and awakening. However, when our spiritual life becomes routine, then it may lose life by putting too much emphasis on outward appearances or formalities. There's a question I ask myself every day. As a Christian, am I living a balanced life of worship, reading the Bible, prayer, and service? One day, I found myself not paying attention to the worship service, thinking about all sorts of things, reading the Bible out of obligation, preparing for the future instead of praying in the early morning service. Since then, I have asked this question every day. Before becoming a pastor, it was a question I asked to hold myself accountable as a Christian every day. One musician said that if he doesn't practice for a day, he knows. If he doesn't practice for 2 days, then his wife knows. If he doesn't practice for 3 days, then the audience knows. That's why he practices. Then I realized that if I don't read the Bible every day, I can pretend to be holy and disciplined, even if I didn't pray, fooling myself and others. That means that I have lost my life and have become a lead. So it is a tool to keep myself to be awake and immerse myself in the love and presence of God. Peter, who could not see awake in Gethsemane, recommends, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray," in 1 Peter. To be alert indicates having a proper and calm heart. To be of sober mind suggests that we should have a centered heart, unwavering by different circumstances. Peter, advises that as the end comes near, we should not only look at Jesus Christ, praying without wavering, but also stay awake, no longer living a life of intemperance. He also testified, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Peter compares Satan to a lion looking for something to eat, to emphasize how strong Satan's temptation is. A lion that is full does not hunt. A lion only hunts when it is hungry, meaning that Satan is always looking for something to devour, just like a hungry lion. Satan fills himself with suspicion and conflict, competition and discord, and unfairness and complacency. So Peter advised them to be alert and of sober mind to pray. Even at the most difficult time of his public ministry, Jesus went to the place of prayer to teach his disciples how to pray. Luke chapter 22, verse 39 testifies that Jesus went to Gethsemane at the most difficult time out of his habit. Jesus went to the Mountain of Olives out of habit. It is important to have a good habit. Routine exercise, healthy eating lifestyle, sleep patterns, and safe driving skills are important components of our lives. Likewise, spiritual discipline is also important for our spirit. The habit of worshiping in the truth and the spirit, worship as life and life as worship, the habit of loving our neighbors like myself, and the habit of rejoicing always, praying continually, and giving thanks in all circumstances are all beneficial to our spirit. However, we have to check whether we are complaining, bearing a grudge, or forcing myself in a tough circumstance out of habit. We have to check whether we are giving up on ourselves and criticizing out of habit. Jesus prayed out of habit 2,000 years ago and today at the worship service of last Sunday of August 2021. Jesus advises the disciples and also us to stay alert and pray. Just tells us not to block the pathway of the Holy Spirit because of our sleepy spirit. Today's scripture tells us not to neglect ourselves to be influenced by secular values. Daniel had a habit of praying. When he knew that the seal of the king had been stamped on the letter to kill him, he still prayed three times a day as he had before, by opening the window towards Jerusalem and bow down to God. Even at a tumultuous time, threatened for his life, he gave a prayer of thanksgiving. Apostle Paul had a habit of praise. There was a master that earned money using a fortune teller woman. When Paul healed the fortune telling female servant, the owner could not earn a living anymore. The angry owner falsely accused Paul and brought him to the authorities. Paul was imprisoned at the prison of Philippi with his feet fastened, but he prayed and praised throughout the night. Apostle Paul advises, having nothing to do with godlessness and old wives' tales, rather train yourself to be godly in 1 Peter 4. We're still living in an uncertain environment. Not only are we anxious on an individual level or at the society level, nations on the planet are suffering. The church community is also experiencing a tough time. That doesn't mean that we can neglect our spiritual lives. We cannot let our heavy eyes to keep our spirits asleep. It is the time for us to develop a habit so that we can pray and praise even if death is right in front of us, and imprisoned, just like our ancestors of faith. Jesus prayed for his cup to be taken away. However, with time, Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane changed to one that asked for the will of Father God to be actualized, to absolute obedience. Jesus knew that the salvation will not be complete without the cross. Jesus knew that the glory of the resurrection will occur after the suffering on the cross, and only through the pain of the cross, God's plan to save the humanity will be completed. However, unlike Jesus, when we pray, we ask to fulfill our plan. We pray loudly for our will to come true, as if we are shaking the heavens. However, is my plan and will that I desire a perfect one? Or is the plan and will of the Creator God perfect? My will is to safely and elegantly own more for a longer period of time. The righteousness and justice that I have defined is already weak and contaminated due to my impermanence, but I'm unable to let it go, asking God to fulfill it. However, the will of God is to love us, sinner of all sinners, and save us. Apostle Paul testifies in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The way of making peace with our Savior God is to confess that we are sinners. We are confessing that we are weak. We have to confess in truth. Jesus also confessed that he was in pain. However, we fail to pray what we need to pray about or ask for our selfish desires. We are praying without sincerity or in reservation. Furthermore, we are at times praying with pride, trying to impress God with our efforts and will. We even try to bargain with God. But such prayer is not what Jesus taught us. It is far different from the prayer that Jesus wanted to teach us before he left. Then how should we pray? Is it possible to give a prayer of obedience from the start? It is possible when we stay in the presence of God, in the existence of God, as Jesus did. Through our breath, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we do not know what we ought to pray for, the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. So in the presence of God, the first thing we should do is to be truthful like Jesus. When he was in fear and pain to the point of death, Jesus did not try to taint his prayer with well-mannered words. He expressed his pain in truth as his sweat turned to blood drops falling on the ground. He didn't stop asking for his cup to be taken away. Similarly, it is okay to reveal our weakness to God. We have to pray as young children, as their parents for something. Children continuously ask their parents until they get what they want. Jesus' prayer that my cup be taken away is a condensed version of Jesus' prayer on Gethsemane. Jesus does not pray this one sentence and end his prayer. We can pray continually, Lord, I'm afraid, I'm anxious, I'm lonely, I'm so sick that I can die. As young children ask their parents, we can ask in truth with all my heart, continually to the Lord, and eventually have an intimate relationship with him. Through the help of the Holy Spirit who intercedes for me, we can give a prayer of accepting God's will and obedience. When our spirit or body is in suffering and in crisis, if we know the will of God for allowing the pain and the crisis, then it will be easier to endure them. However, we do not know the will of God, so we fall to despair and feel frustration and lose hope. We have to pray about such frustration, fear, and pain until such fear, frustration, and pain disappear. You don't know how much time it will take. If we truly pray with our emotion and intelligence, then the Holy Spirit helps in us and with us. And he guides us to give a prayer of obedience, to accept the will of God. Then we can give a prayer of obedience, following the will of God, like Jesus, who says, "Arise, come with me." This is enduring the cross that God has given to us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Without taking up the cross, we cannot have eternal life. Without taking up the cross, we cannot experience the true peace of God. Bearing the cross is painful, tough, and difficult. However, even if we cannot understand it now, there is eternal life when we follow the will of God. Living in the era of COVID-19 pandemic, we're anxious due to the fear of infection, worries about vaccination, burden of the pandemic, natural disasters, and oppression in various countries. We come to ask, why does God allow such rough circumstances? It may be to awaken my spirit that is asleep, to be strengthened, to walk up Gethsemane. If it was not for such situation, perhaps we would not be able to realize the new plan of God due to our short-sightedness. I believe that it is to have us realize the love of God were enough for today's circumstances. For the will of God to actualize as it is in heaven, perhaps our circumstance has been allowed for us to walk up the Gethsemane of prayer. Summer of heat that seemed endless has passed, and autumn has arrived. Programs for the second half of the year will begin in September as district Bible study groups and Sunday school groups meet virtually. May they pray together, share their habits of spiritual discipline, and experience the grace of delivering the will of God. As Jesus saved humanity through prayer, we have to walk up Gethsemane of prayer, throwing away our heavy pains, worries, despair, and loneliness, and instead hope for God's will to be accomplished. We have to choose whether we are going to remain in despair and complaints or walk together to the place of prayer in Gethsemane. May this week be one of prayer at Gethsemane so that the Lord is not lonely. Let us pray. Father God, while Jesus was praying at Gethsemane to the point his sweat turned to blood drops, disciples could not stay awake at the same place. At Gethsemane, the Lord prayed for obedience, but disciples left a shameful memory at the same time. The disciples were physically with the Lord at Gethsemane, but their spirits were asleep. The Lord taught them that the only way to have eternal life is to pray, but they did not remember. So at a time during which they needed to stay awake, their spirit fell asleep. Satan looks around to devour someone like hungry lions do. So thank you for allowing us today's scripture to reflect whether we Christians are also not awake. As the Lord prayed in Gethsemane and walked towards the cross, bless us to pray habitually on an individual basis and also with members of our spiritual community. So this fall, may we experience the most beautiful and sturdy maturation of our spirit. Moses said, "The best of our days may be trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." We realize that our lives are full of trouble and sorrow. While the entire world is suffering, may we walk up the Gethsemane together to endure the suffering and pain. Through this circumstance, may we realize what you want us to know, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, endow us with the grace to intimately meet the God of love who has given us the Son of God, Jesus Christ that took up the cross to save us, and the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us despite our weaknesses. May our daily lives be balanced with the worship in spirit and truth, reading the Bible, prayers, and service. Consequently, may we take care of our neighbors' troubles and pray for their pain as faithful Christians during this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.